Okay, welcome back. Hour number three. Now, first of all, I want to... Are you there, partner?
I'm here, Jeff.
All right. I think I'm going to speak for both of us here. We really want to thank all of you out there who care and who are open-minded and who want to at least consider the information that we work so hard to gather and present for all of us. We're trying to help. And many of you write wonderful emails. We appreciate that. You're very special people. You are the front edge. And I also want to mention that tonight begins our fourth year in service to all of you who care. And we've been doing this for 4 years now, regularly. And it has been a wild ride. And it's not going to slow down. It gets crazier all the time. We have some examples of that coming up, too. So thanks to all of you for being there for all these years, and we're going to push right through year number four with all of you right here with us, we hope.
Yeah, indeed. We'll keep showing up as long as we can.
I exactly right. So it's been fascinating to watch how the alt news world has been overtly taken over and reprogrammed to serve the agenda of the controllers. They've taken that. They already own the mainstream media, but now they own the alt news world. It's all a game. And we had Amazing Polly on, and if you want to find the Amazing Polly pieces we featured Wednesday, look on the left side of the homepage under columnists, and scroll down until you find Amazing Polly. She's there, and the stories are there, and her X location is there for you, as is her website as well. So she's really coming out swinging for the fences now, and that's great. She's saying many things we've been saying for a long time, and it's good to see. So happy to add her to columnists at rents.com. Okay, we have... again, lots of emails, and I'm going to start out with here. Oh, you know what? I'm going to start out with the Novavax thing. That's just crazy. Now, if you've been with us for any length of time, you'll understand that Novavax is an entirely different kind of alleged COVID vaccination. Novavax doesn't have lipid-covered mRNA instructions that go into your cells and take over and order them to produce spike. No, Novavax is composed of virtually one, you're not going to believe this if you don't know, 100% spike proteins. You're getting a massive dose of nothing but spike proteins. The deadliest thing, arguably, ever created by this forlorn species called humankind. The spike protein is death. And the Novavax vax is 100% spike. Here's the story. I've been hesitant about COVID vaccines, but after researching and trying to learn as much as I can online from real people, I mean those who have actually taken it, I decided to go with Novavax. I had COVID 4 months ago, and I'm hoping that this vaccine will help prevent or at least lessen the symptoms should I get it again. I was told to come back for my second shot of Novavax in about 8 weeks. How much protection do you get from only taking the first shot, if any? Oh, I'm going to stop there. It is so insane to read this. My jaw just wants to stop and hang. It boggles the mind.
These poor people out there...
Go ahead.
This was one day ago, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This wasn't last year or the year before. No, it was one day ago.
The only good thing about this is this person ends up by saying, I still mask everywhere I go, so this is just more for my own protection. Now, that's good, but the mask isn't going to help. If you inject yourself with a trillion, good God, spike proteins. This is crazy.
Well, you know, and moreover, he or she just literally had COVID. So there's
just
nothing.
Just got over it.
Maybe. You know, they say it takes two years to clear that virus.
Two to three. Now it's 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Yes.
He or she thinks she got over it. I mean, this is a surefire way to guarantee that you probably won't get over it at this point. You know, you can't, nothing trumps the real infection. You know, if you got it and you got over it, you know, you can consider yourself as protected as you're going to be. And
right.
Injecting yourself with more poison isn't going to change that.
No.
You can't become more immune.
It's crazy. And please do keep in mind that this damn virus and its current variant and subvariant configurations is running amok. Because so many people from shedding or injected means have very little immune function left. They're just screwed. So this virus, this bioweapon COVID, SARS-CoV-2 virus, just walks right in and it nails people. The overall herd immunity here is way down across the board.
Yeah, well, it is for a number of reasons. But bear in mind, Novavax, I don't believe they've updated. I think they're still producing a vaccine using the original Wuhan strain.
I think you're right.
I'm not sure, I think they were planning on...
No.
Updating for I don't know what it was, Omicron or something. I think they were talking about that over the summer, but I don't know if it was actually done.
Right. That's crazy. This post, I don't know where you found it, just... I almost didn't want to do
it. Well, and the 30-something comments were basically in agreement. You know, nobody expressed any concern or outrage.
Do all of you understand that for people like this person and the commenters, you understand why this so-called species is a pushover? It's 4 years. 4 years, and these people haven't learned much of anything.
No.
Because they watch CNN, Fox, all the rest of it. They're just brainwashed. They're brainwashed into species suicide is what's happening. And taking this injection is utter madness.
Well, let's read one of the replies, not 30, but...
Go ahead.
You should get the second shot 8 weeks from the first. You were not previously vaccinated, and the initial vaccination is a two-dose series for optimal coverage. Then, 6 months later, you should get a third shot. The third
if
dose really
alive.
Enhances and broadens protection against variants. How's that? This is how Novavax conducted their trials. I'm a trial member here. Except in the trial, there was a distance of 3 weeks, but not more than 42 days versus the 8 weeks guidance the CDC recommends. I assume if there is a new fall vaccine with variant change, your third dose would be that. Congratulations on your choice of Novavax.
Oh, my. All right. There's the Novavax update for you. Now, we had a very nice email from a lady named Deb. Thank you, Deb. I'm going to read your email here because she raises a very good point. And we have mentioned Lyme before a number of times, but probably not enough. So let me read her note here. And I did respond to her. We have been listening to you and Erica since the beginning, and appreciate the work you both have put into keeping us informed and up to date on the agenda. But please understand that it started a long time ago with the creation of the bioweapon that causes chronic fatigue. Then a little later, the creation of a monster that does the same, exactly the same destruction as does the COVID, long COVID, and the jab. Mental issues, heart issues, bone issues, nerve issues, digestive issues, Lyme disease triggers over 300 different diseases. Doctors have made a fortune off of our misfortune for years. Lyme disease is just as demonic as COVID, and the jab, and those of us who have been suffering for years are sick and tired of us always being pushed to the side, especially when we hear all the media attention of this current agenda. Most likely those who got the sickest were already jabbed by an insect, a biting Lyme disease carrying insect, years ago. Thanks for reading. Well, thank you, Deb, for sending that in. And you're quite right on all accounts. The Lyme people are being just left in the dust behind. Not good.
Well, with a number of these vaccine injured, and even some who have had the COVID virus, it's common, especially in these long haulers that can't seem to shake it, that they do have a reactivated Lyme infection, and that's what's standing in the way of them getting well. And
it's,
you know,
big,
Lyme's
a big player. That's the point.
There's a couple recent developments around. One having to do with ALS. There are many cases of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease, that is actually misdiagnosed Lyme. So Lyme can be that bad if it gets into the nervous system, and it can mimic what appears to be ALS. So it's very, very important that if anybody's been given that type of diagnosis, to make sure you're not dealing with Lyme. And the Lyme testing is not very, or it didn't used to be very accurate. We've gotten much, much better at it. But the ELISA test, which is the first test you'll get if they're looking at Lyme, considering Lyme, is merely a screening test. And it is wrong 50% of the time. 50% of the time you will get a false negative. And if that happens, that basically you're told you don't have Lyme. But you should pursue other testing. And the company that's the laboratory that's most well known, it's been a while since I've delved into this, I think is still Igenix. And they have some very advanced testing. But even the Western blot that they were using as a secondary test for Lyme omitted some of the two of the very pertinent bands for the Lyme spirochete, the Borrelia one, which was bands 31 and 34. And so even on that test, people were getting false negatives. But thank God, I mean, there's the testing has really come a long way in the last few years, I would say. And remarkably, there's a doctor in Mexico, Dr. Omar Morales, who, I don't know if he's proven it, but is treating Morgellons as a manifestation of a certain type of Lyme infection that affects people with certain polymorphism in their genome. He's identified three genes that is common to the people that are experiencing Morgellons, and by that I mean the fibers and the crystals that, you know, form and come out of the skin, among other things. And he's having some remarkable success treating this this version of Lyme disease at his clinic in Mexico. And he is an ILADS certified doctor. So his website is LymeMexico.com. And he just did a presentation yesterday for a Morgellon Society. Unfortunately, though, YouTube has taken it down.
Well, what a shock.
Yeah. But no, that Lyme disease is really, a lot of people have been exposed. A lot of people carry the disease, but they don't know they have it. I mean, their immune systems are such that they keep it in check, and, you know, they may never experience
illness. Think of it like, it's a kind of a cousin of syphilis. There's a spirochete involved. It's a, I don't know if it's a single cell organism or what, but it's not good.
Well, it goes through different
stages.
Forms,
yeah.
So it can hide. And then it creates biofilms, which are, you know, if you've been on antibiotics for any prolonged period of time, chances are you've got biofilms, and that's, they can hide out forever in there. So sometimes dealing with Lyme, you have to eradicate these biofilms, which are pretty stubborn. But the other shortcoming in treating Lyme disease, a lot of times they'll give the antibiotics, but they won't give Flagyl, otherwise known as metronidazole.
This is a real important thing. Listen, this is very important. Go ahead.
I have heard that from doctors who are treating misdiagnosed ALS, which is actually Lyme, that you have to include the metronidazole, Flagyl, in that protocol.
Flagyl. That's the brand name.
Yeah, that's the pharmaceutical name. And I've also heard it from, I believe Dr. Omar Morales said that too. Yes, he did in his protocol. And his protocol actually is rather simple. It's not, you know, overly complicated. It's just, you know, you've got to commit to it. But he uses Flagyl with certain antibiotics. I think some colloidal silver's in there. Hyperthermia. But, yeah, I would recommend if anyone's suffering or thinks they're suffering from Morgellons, consider a possible diagnosis of Lyme and look into that protocol, LymeMexico.com.
Very good and very important. Flagyl. Don't forget that. The usual treatment for Lyme used to be, if you can diagnose it early on successfully, is just heavy doxycycline, and that allegedly was working in many cases. But if you wait and it gets established, it becomes more difficult to access.
Yeah.
In terms of trying to hit it with an antibiotic, this is tough. These whole things about casts on your digestive tract too, that's another big story that we should talk more about, I guess, at some point.
Well, biofilms are a big part of chronic illness, and biofilms are it's colonies. There's multiple organisms when this happens. They come together and they secrete protective a shell, a coating, and it's very tough, and the antibiotics will not penetrate that.
No, it's like a plastic wall, so to speak, of gunk on the inside of your digestive tract, and
These biofilms can form in the bladder. They can form virtually anywhere.
Right.
Because we carry bacteria, in every orifice, and even, you know, there's even a dormant blood microbiome. So these, you know, bacteria can take up residence wherever it's favorable for them. And every time you hit them with antibiotics, they, you know, select for the ones that can resist it and put up a protective layer, you can be harboring not only bacteria in these biofilms, but also viruses and protozoa and fungus. And
right. Some people are able to shed them, and they'll come out like almost a casing. If you can get rid of these biofilms, especially in your digestion, you'll have a much better
life. Some enzymes that will address those. Lumbrokinase is a very, very good one for that. Claire Labs makes a formula called Interphase, and that's phase with an F, Interface, and it's a combination of enzymes that target this crusty, hard layer that's protecting these organisms.
Yep, sure is. Okay, hope that helps. And this whole Lyme thing, it's just one in a string of bioweapons. SARS-CoV-1 was obviously a bioweapon. It was a test, it's still around, I hear, but they did decertify it to a degree. We got SARS-CoV-2, you've got Lyme. These are weapons that are created and turned loose to see what they'll do. They watch. They're learning all the time. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had the weaponized mycoplasma. We had brucellosis.
Many.
You can bet that they've been releasing these things.
Since 1950, when there's at least that's the one we know about. Of course, there's a Tuskegee experiment on the black aviators. Then they were spraying the San Francisco Bay, all around the bay, with some kind of a bacterium to see what it would do, how it would spread. So they don't care. We're expendable. Expendable. Okay.
Yeah, never more so now than now.
We have another issue. And I'm really, we're watching this. I'm very concerned about this. And it has to do with dementia. Not dementia of the old, elderly, infirm, or seniors, or even people in their 50s. We're talking about dementia now beginning to show up in children, little children, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc. Dementia shouldn't be in children. So we're watching this very carefully, because that's very concerning. Are these children injected? Some are. Are their parents injected? Many are. Are they being shed upon? Most likely. And if that shedding is resulting in a prion disease beginning to break out in their brain or other neurology in their body, they're in grave trouble. They're on the way out. You don't get over these things. You get a prion disease that causes dementia, and you're done. There's no comeback from that, because it's physiologically destructive to the brain, and the brain doesn't repair itself like you'd think it might. It doesn't, nor does the heart. Heart is damaged. It's damaged.
That's right.
There are some anecdotal reports about the recoveries, but I they're so few and far between. Just be careful, for goodness sakes. And if you see any stories about childhood dementia, you might feel free to pass it on to me. I'll be glad to see it.
Well, I don't know why children would be spared the horrors of the spike protein.
The war on childhood and children is the most heinous, satanic part, perhaps, of this entire genocide. The war on childhood innocence. When you put this horrible pedophilic information and sexual deviancy in books for little children and their school textbooks, and the school board sustains this as a fair and viable thing to teach children. No, 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 no. No, it's not. Children and childhood is the last goodness on this planet. And the war has clearly been declared on both of them. It's just sickening. I wish I could get my hands on the people that did this.
I know.
Okay. All right. 5G. We haven't talked about 5G in a while, so we've got a little clip here with Dr. David Martin, who kind of confounds us a little bit. David Martin has put out some extraordinary information. And yet some of the other things, once in a while, he'll put out some real clunkers, which kind of confuses things a little bit. But all in all,
the name of the game, right?
That's it. Chaos, confusion. David Martin is quite a contributor, and he's got a little piece here on 5G. So let's play that for you right now. Here we go.
Let's unpack the 5G thing, because that's something that I've tried to encourage people to look at actual 5G data. Anybody who wants to believe that 5G is a new phenomenon that somehow or another proliferated across the globe somewhere in 2018 and 2019, when the United States Department of Defense sold the frequency, needs to go back and look at the underlying fact, which is the U.S. Department of Defense has had 5G all over the world for years, and has found it to be not sufficient for their requirements, which is why they sold it commercially.
And why not? Because the millimeter wave doesn't have the reach and the strength to suit military needs. They were stuck with that. So they sold it off, and we get it.
As much as people say, well, but 5G just started. No, it didn't. 5G was sold as unusable spectrum by the Department of Defense. And carriers bought it, not from the FCC, not from an authorized auction. They bought it from the unused frequency that the DoD was giving up. So even the 5G narrative falls apart on its face, because we are pretending like because it went into civilian use, it hadn't been used before. I think the whole thing has been very well orchestrated to set a number of little breadcrumbs out there to allow anybody anywhere to go, it's this, it's that, it's something else. And all of them distract from the central problem. And the central problem is a colluding set of conspirators in both public sector and in industry, knew by 2015, and Peter Daszak, by the way, said it outright, we are going to get the public to understand the need for a medical countermeasure such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. We need the media to create hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. The media hype was a programmed hype. And during the entirety of COVID, what did we have? We had the breadcrumb of 5G. We had the breadcrumb of SARS-CoV-2. We had the breadcrumb of UFOs. We had the breadcrumb of transgender. We had the breadcrumb of men can have babies. We had the breadcrumb of BLM. Are you kidding? This was not some co-emergence of social issues that all came about randomly at the same time. This was a destruction of the public confidence narrative, which allowed everybody to jump on a bandwagon so that nobody talked about the real crime. And the real crime was something which in 2005 unambiguously stated that the synthetic coronavirus was going to be, and I quote, a biological warfare enabling technology. I don't know where the mystery is.
Well, we certainly agree with Dr. David Martin on that.
Well stated.
It's been out there. And, well, the answer is relatively simple. It's covered up and hidden by the mainstream media. It's confused, covered up, and hidden by the controlled alt media. So where else are people going to get their information? That's it. So it's not hard to do. They run this show like it's a backyard circus, and it's not a problem for them. When you own it all, you can do anything you want.
Yep.
And they do. Okay, so that's a good piece. I'll put that up at some point here. We'll get it up on a page. There is 6G, but 6G, if you do any research on 6G, you'll see it's still a year and a half, 2 years away. At least our use of 6G. The military probably already has it. The military has so many things that are so far down the road from what they even admit, it's ludicrous. The technology they have is extraordinary by any measure.
Yeah.
That's always been the game, though. It's trickled down. If they're done with it, tired of it, or if it can serve their purposes, they'll release it to the public, make lots of money. The Pentagram has all the cards, and they play them to their benefit all the time. Okay, what's next here? Do you have anything else you want to pop in here with that we missed? We're going to go to our readers next.
We could go to the readers, sure.
Okay. You put up a nice bunch today. This is very interesting. I'd like to start with something I think we might have been among the first, maybe the first, to talk about how we were worried that other mammals, dogs and cats, deer, cattle, horses, zoo animals, other mammals can get shed upon, or if they get injected, they'll develop the same panoply of diseases, disease states, misery, injuries, and they'll die just like people. So we've got couple of dog sickness reports here. Let's see what we have here. Why don't you go ahead and do the dog sickness, the first two.
Okay. I just heard from a Gene Decode interview that the severe dog-killing illness that is spreading is from human shedding. Perhaps it's time for dog protocols.
See, let me say one thing here. For those of you who would like a dog and for whatever reason don't want to go down to the pound because you want to know the pedigree, the history, the health history of the animal, it's I understand that. So you go to a breeder. Now, 80% of America is injected with at least one bioweapon shot. 70% fully vaxxed. That's two shots and a booster, minimum. Most dog breeders are shot up just by virtue of extrapolation from the general facts. So you don't want to buy a puppy from an injected dog breeder. Because if what we're seeing is correct, you're going to end up with a puppy that is essentially already vaxxed. You don't want that. Nothing but trouble ahead. I can't prove it, but that seems to be the logical conclusion to go to with all the work we've done. And we don't want dogs and cats entering a home and dying over time. Thousands of dollars of vet bills, and the vet they'll not know anything about what's going on with this. So you've got to try and find a breeder that's not vaxxed, and in case of dogs, doesn't allow vaxxed people to come around and touch the merchandise before it's sold and shipped or delivered to the parties who have purchased the animal.
Yeah, it's a worry.
It is a worry.
You know, and both dogs and cats carry their own coronaviruses.
In some cases, they can be
deadly. Now, you posted a story yesterday from that Thailand medical news about there appears to be a new feline canine coronavirus hybrid that is spreading among dogs and cats on the island of Cyprus. Do you read that?
I don't know.
It's mostly
if I
the
read
cats
it.
That are being.
Cyprus is in the eastern Mediterranean, for those of you who don't know. Go ahead.
Well, they're saying that now it's been identified in the UK.
I think that's the story I remember, yeah. UK. Okay. And what's it called? What are they referring to it as?
Oh, I don't know if they've given it a name. Well, okay, what is it? SCOV-23, as in feline coronavirus 23.
Okay.
It says, has raised concerns among scientists as it marks the first documented case of a cat coronavirus merging with a highly virulent canine pathogen, pantropic canine coronavirus. This unprecedented recombination has led to a perfect storm of both disease severity and transmissibility, leaving thousands of cats in Cyprus at risk. Moreover, the virus has now been identified in the UK, indicating a potential for global spread.
not good. As we've been saying for years, everywhere you look, it seems to be getting worse.
You know, these animals, if they're in contact with humans, they're being exposed to the genetic material for a fusion protein. So I guess I'm not really surprised. I mean, we're going to have new viruses, bacteria, popping up all over the place.
Right. Here's another story from Thailand Medical. COVID-19 news. Researchers identify a new BA.2 variant with more than 100 mutations in South Africa. This is COVID news. So this is, it's proliferating, it's spreading, and it's not going to be removed. It's now, I'm sure, it's endemic to the environment, indigenous.
Well, primarily in the countries that, you know, in the highly vaccinated countries, because the vaccine was a massive failure. If we believe it was a vaccine.
It was never a
and
vaccine.
Has, you know, allowed this virus to gain a foothold and mutate and evade the immune system.
Right. Okay, go ahead. There's another one.
Okay, someone says to that, strangely, I have noticed shedding from owners to cat. The cat was having strokes and sneezing blood in my care. So I was worried sick that he would die.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him only fresh fish, salmon, tuna, cooked in green tea for a week, and used filtered water. The cat healed with that and was much better for another 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
But the owners kept on boosting, so he got sick again and died. But at least it didn't happen on my watch.
Damn.
Yeah, I know.
All right. We have a whole bunch of interesting material here. Let's go right ahead into extreme hypersensitivity with shedding. Can't get messages. Sorry. Can't get massages. Got terrible shedding from 4 or 5, I guess, different massage professionals that that this person tried. Everyone is contaminated here. Water is awful to bathe in. I used to just take them every day with ESS.
Essential oils.
ESS, period, capital O-I-L-S. Looks like two sentences to me, but you're right. You know how to read this defective prose. I used to take them every day with essential oils, sometimes baking soda or borax. Water is a mess. Just having a neighbor come to the door, I thought I wasn't getting back. Gave me the worse shedding than the supermarket does. I take the muscle test, tons of stuff. It's getting worse. I take liquid minerals and tons of supplements and remedies. All right, so somebody came to the door and shed upon her.
Yeah,
worse than going to the supermarket.
That would, you know, she'd avoid the shedding if she didn't go to the store and had it delivered.
Right. So the delivery guy dumped on her. All right.
Well, that's how sensitive some people have become now.
Yes, yes. And that woman probably takes those groceries in with gloves and washes them or sprays the outside of the containers with a little bleach or something, a spray bottle, something to try and sterilize them. It's no joke.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another one. Does the air smell outside whether or not your neighbors are outside? This is asking someone who's hypersensitive. So I'll just repeat it. Does the air smell outside whether or not your neighbors are outside? The air here smells virtually everywhere to various degrees. It's worse when people are outside or when I pass certain houses in the neighborhood. Some houses stink. Some cars stink. All this with their windows closed.
Mm.
There you go. But you did say, and I think it's interesting, more and more people are becoming what we're calling hypersensitive. Maybe hypersensitive is on the way to becoming normative in its sensitivity. Maybe more and more people are just going to smell it.
You know, the body is recognizing a poison and it's trying to protect you. So
I think it
learns that, you know, the limbic system gets involved. That's part of your nervous system, but it ties in very closely to your immune system. And so once it learns or associates even, a bad experience with maybe a visual cue or just a hint or whiff of something, you're going to feel it.
Right.
You know, that's all part of the mast cell activation syndrome, but it's also part and parcel of chronic inflammatory response syndrome, which does require some effort to reset the system, so to speak. But, it makes no sense unless you can seriously get away from the exposure.
Right.
And start to detoxify yourself from the poison.
All right, let's go down to shedding poisoning. And the first one is shedding of lipid nanoparticles, LNPs, which are now standard equipment with the mRNA instructions. They're covered with LNPs, which help those instructions go right into your cell and order the cell to begin to produce not their normal protein output, but only spike proteins. All right? So that's how that works. All right, shedding of lipid nanoparticles, LNPs. See it? Halfway down. A little bit more.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I studied molecular cell biology at York and Oxford. Needless to say, I did not get any injection of the, quote, coated mRNA. If you read the research on mRNA treatments and, quote, coated delivery, methods, you will find the heart-related secondary effects were recorded. It is also worth noting that during the normal cellular process of lipid recycling, the introduced coating agents are also broken down into subunits, which then become systemically active compounds in their own right, with many diverse potential side effects. This is what is not being said. The research I refer to was published by the people who developed these treatments. Side effects are and were predictable. Now you are seeing the outcome of the world's largest experiment.
Well, I would agree
well, we
and
know
disagree. It's a deployed military weapon. All right. So, but people are still hung up on that, understandably.
So the lipids from these things, and these are toxic lipids. They're carcinogenic. They're considered a class one carcinogen, meaning they cause cancer. Are being shed.
They didn't have to. Excuse me. Did they have to use this particular carcinogenic format of lipids to cover the mRNA, or could they have picked a non-lethal form of lipid nanoparticle covering?
No, they have to be positively charged to complex with the negatively charged mRNA.
Got it. So they bond together. I see.
But Stephanie Seneff, in one of her presentations, I think it was back in August, presented some material that there's actually quite a bit of research showing that when this stuff sheds, the lipids are in these exosomes in a one-to-one ratio with the RNA, mRNA.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, okay. The spike.
All right. So, in other words, when you're around people who are shedding, they are potentially shedding mRNA. With or without the lipids, they're shedding liquid nanoparticles. They're shedding perhaps DNA fragments, of which you can get up to 400 billion per injection. So you're going to dump those. And, of course, they're all shedding spike. So these are the four things that we consider to be probably almost invariably being shed.
Yeah.
The potential is certainly there. All right, here's another one. Could anyone please help me figure out what has happened to me as a result of helping an elderly couple who have been triple vaxxed? The man had to have surgery and needed someone to stay at his house with his wife who has Alzheimer's. I was happy to help, but the second night I developed some weird symptoms. I woke up about 1:20 a.m. and noticed my thyroid area of my neck was sore to the touch and just felt weird. I also had a slight raised heart rate that I noticed the first and second nights when I got quiet to go to sleep because it became very obvious. I thought it was anxiety. When I woke up in the morning after the second night, my neck was a little swollen and it was uncomfortable to swallow and still sore. I also noticed that my one hand has now developed itchiness like eczema on my thumb, and it is super dry. I've been home now since yesterday afternoon, and the symptoms were improved after I put castor oil on my neck last night. But now my neck is getting worse again, and I feel rather faint at times. I knew I would be taking a risk going over there, but the thyroid thing has never happened to me before, although I now know I have reacted to the other vax people who have stayed with me in the past, but with different symptoms. My daughter was getting headaches after being over there with the older people as well. Has anyone else had symptoms like this from vax shedding? I forgot to add that the glands under my tongue became super inflamed, red, and sore too. Weird. Yeah. So there you go. Good Samaritans can pay a heavy price. Got to be careful.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up. Go ahead.
What do we want to do?
No, there's another one after that. There's three more. Shedding poisoning. One, two, three, and four.
Okay. Yeah.
Go shedding number two.
Number two. Okay, this is an answer to that one. After I had my first exposure to a jabbed individual, I had stroke-like symptoms and twitching in my eye for several months, and then I developed shingles. I started consuming turmeric on a daily basis. After all that I have learned, I would guess that the stroke-like symptoms were due to blood clots, and the shedding is neurotoxic as well. I developed swelling after exposure to the jabbed. I have a constant struggle with blood clots now. I hope this helps.
Wow.
And
unvaxxed, just getting around the yeah. injected. That's what mm-hmm. she got.
I'm sorry you had to go through all that. Our world has definitely changed. Maybe I will try taking turmeric. I hope that you will stop having blood clots at some point. Thank you for your response.
All right, here's another one. In January, February of 2021, I noticed a strange smell when people would walk or pass me by. The smell made me feel ill. I would feel uncomfortable, and then I would get a headache. I would get lumps under my tongue. They would come up, itching eyes, and I would feel sick. This started happening lots at first, and at first I thought I was going mad. Some people would smell stronger than others, but the same smell I've never smelled before. It's a pungent, sweet, sickly chemical smell, and I have a good sense of smell as I quit smoking years ago, and my taste and smell came back like never before. Lots of people are jabbed, and I could smell them everywhere I work. Everywhere I can smell them everywhere. I work outside, and a house could be 40 to 50 feet away. The window could be open, and the smell for that distance would let me know that someone in that house was jabbed. How did I know they were jabbed? Due to me thinking I was going mad with this smell, I told my story to an unvaxxed site and had lots of people messaging me saying the same thing. As much as you want to help people, you need to keep away from the vaxxed as possible for your far away from the vaxxed as possible for your own health. My own mind warned me from the start. I know all my neighbors who are jabbed. All right.
Due to the smell only.
Yep. Yep. All right, number four.
Well, wait, the last sentence there is interesting. The people in power have made washing powders, conditioners with that smell to play with your minds.
That's a bit of a stretch. That goes back to the
dryer sheets. It's the aldehydes.
Yeah, I don't think there's necessarily a connection there, but I get the point.
No, it's not intentional, but you know, the aldehydes are coming off these people.
Right.
And the fragrances that are used in laundry detergents, dryer sheets, cleaning supplies, plastics, you know, there's aldehydes everywhere. Especially in the laundry detergent aisle in the grocery store. I mean, if you have trouble with that's basically it's aldehydes. And your body's having trouble detoxifying them.
Someone answered that, said, I'm honestly afraid whether or not I have that smell. I never got any COVID vaccine, but the PCR test I took, the saline, and tetanus shot, and being with too many vaxxed girls might have done something to me. Well, I think he can count on that. All right. There's one more here.
One.
No, there's
okay.
one. Smells of the vaxxed. Go ahead and grab that. That's the next one. See it?
Someone asked, does cayenne pepper helps people smell those that are jabbed? I know it can return your sense of smell. Although, honestly, it's probably better to not have to smell it. Similar to burning plastic, some feel like there is a microwave frequency coming off people. You can smell it 10 yards away, even at the beach.
And here, go down a little further there. And we got two you found. Unvaxxed person wanting to date a vaxxed person. And there's two entries there. So go ahead with that.
Hi there. Can anyone advise what someone can or should do to take detox or should take to detox after receiving two doses of the jab. As an unvaccinated person, I am considering dating someone who was. Would appreciate any info and guidance. There's so much info in this chat, it's overwhelming.
Yep. There's one after that. Go ahead.
This is the best advice yet. Sorry, my advice would be to move on from this person. If I'm wrong with this next info, someone please correct me. First reason, poor critical thinking skills. Second, there is no detox for the gene editing component of the jab, only the resulting spike protein. Third, he is likely sterile because the poison aims for the testicles. If you are looking for a long-term relationship like marriage, children will be unlikely. Plus, he can shed the poison to you through body fluids. Miscarriages are up 81%. I hope I got that right. If not, happy to be corrected.
And just one more comment to that little thread. Body fluid can pass it on. I know this due to my customer's husband's jabbed the wife is not... Jeez. I don't know how these people communicate anymore. They can't write. All right, Maestro. Take this one, too.
I don't... Oh, okay, right here. I see it. Okay. Body fluid can pass it on. I know this due to my customer's husband's jabbed the wife. The wife is not within weeks. The wife has had heart problems. Also, the smell on the wife is as bad as the vaxxed husband. The wife does not look well, always ill, always saying, when I'm there, I don't feel right, struggling always. I'm seeing this on many people.
Okay. Honest to God, I don't know what happened to printed word and language anymore. It's crazy. This is exactly what it says here. Body fluid can pass it on. I know this due to my customer's husband's jabbed wife is not within weeks. Okay.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
No. It's called gibberish. And I worry about prions in the brain. Oh, my. All right. Well, the bottom line on all this is simple. If you're not vaxxed, you don't want to be around the vaxxed if you can possibly help it. And if you must be around them, wear a mask. You don't want prion infestation into your brain or anywhere else in your body. And it apparently, unfortunately, tragically, appears to be part of the shedding mechanism of this bioweapon assault on humanity. It does.
Yeah, it does. Yes,
and
it does.
We don't want to say this, but that's the god-awful truth. Okay. All right, partner. Thanks for the great... We're starting our fourth year, and it's always... You're the best, and we have a lot of very important work to do, so we'll do it.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Happy anniversary. Good night,
yes.
Everyone.
All right. We'll be right back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.